And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is July 12, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio One, we have Doug Newsom that we appreciate and thankful for, and we are gonna work together and help you understand what's going on from this side of the globe, from the Middle East, from Israel, from whatever, you know, wherever you are, whatever you do, you sometimes a different angle can give you a change in perspective. And sometimes we don't want to think that we know it all. So today I want to thank also to Protect, the company that sponsored this show. And let's listen to it.
We live in a world where terrorism can strike at any given moment. So I spent my entire life in trying to make the world a safer place. I know what it's like to live in terror, and I don't wish that on anyone. If the Protect company can expand beyond the Israeli borders into a business that is truly global, we will be able to minimize as many casualties and death worldwide. My name is Itai Gil, and this show is about my mission to protect the world.
Success is in the mind. One guy will say success is if I have millions in the bank, but he's still miserable. So materialistic, he's successful, but if he's happy, no, it has to have a combination that you have enough to do the hobbies you love, to have enough quality time with the family. Well, my wife, she's my best friend. We've been together for 16 years. She's very, very smart and spicy. She knows how to negotiate real well. I even offered her a job in Protect, leave the bank and work for me, but you know, for the moment, she's gonna stay in the bank. I spend many, many hours with my kids. They're in my environment all the time. They can feel me every day. It's not that I'm gone forever. They think I'm a little bit of a different father than the other fathers. You know, I have an extreme job. Go!
My life be like.
Yeah. Okay, go, 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 go! Go to the quarters! Like, yeah! Go! I was a soldier from a very young age, from 18. I was exposed to, tactics, weapons. Later on, I was recruited to an elite counter-terror team. It's called Yamam. Being in the counter-terror team for many, many years, active as special police team, I've done more than one arrest in my life, and I discovered that lots of things you learn in a so-called training center, dojo, doesn't work in real time. I had to come up with some solutions that will work in real time against certain aggressive criminals. We deal in combat and tactical training.
All right. Well, it's Itai Gil that has the company Protect that goes around the world and teach the policymakers and people that are really matters to how to defend themselves so they can teach. The global idea is that you go around and teach as many people possible so you can protect the civilian people. It's not easy and it takes an effort. But we all in play here, and it can happen anywhere, any place. So that's why it's so important to get some instruction and learn. Now, and changing the subject, let's listen to what people have to say about Donald Trump Jr. It's a story that is in the news. It's hot and it's interpreted in so many ways. And I want to look at it from a different angle, a different angle of a person that works in the international arena and understand what happens when you have different contact. And sometimes it seems like, oh my God, you know, people are doing the wrong things, but maybe it's not that's straightforward. It's only simple connection that sometimes people, you know, meet. Let's listen.
Sunday, Donald Trump Jr. clarified his original response about why he talked to a Russian attorney with supposed ties to the Kremlin. White House aides say nothing came from the meeting, and the uproar and the headlines about it are an overreaction to a whole lot of nothing. But the president's critics say this is part of a continuing pattern of members of the campaign or transition forgetting about meetings with various Russians and then recanting and recharacterizing why they were meeting. Correspondent Kevin Cork has the latest tonight from the White House. Good evening, Kevin.
Brett, you're right. This story just doesn't seem to go away. This is either the most direct suggestion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials, or it's simply a matter of a meeting that was set up under false pretenses that had absolutely nothing to do with the campaign itself.
Our position is that no one within the Trump campaign colluded in order to influence the election.
Like his father, Donald Trump Jr. took to Twitter today, firing back at suggestions that by taking a meeting with a Russian lawyer for the purpose of getting dirt on the Clinton campaign during the 2016 race, that it meant his team had somehow colluded with the Kremlin. Tweeting tongue-in-cheek, "Obviously, I'm the first person on a campaign to ever take a meeting to hear info about an opponent. Went nowhere but had to listen." White House officials say the president only learned about the meeting a couple days ago. But critics argue the fact that the campaign's operatives, Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort, were there at all is highly unethical.
There's no reason for this Russian government advocate to be meeting with Paul Manafort or with Mr. Kushner or with the president's son if it wasn't about the campaign and Russia policy.
This is the first time the public has seen clear evidence that senior level officials of the Trump campaign met with potentially an agent of a foreign government to try to obtain information that would discredit Hillary Clinton.
In a statement, Mr. Trump Jr. discounted the meeting with Natalia Veselnitskaya, writing, quote, "Her statements were vague, ambiguous, and made no sense. She began discussing the adoption of Russian children. It became clear to me that this was the true agenda all along."
I think what's important here is that we're at day 200 or so of no evidence of Russian collusion. People think they want to convert wishful thinking into hard evidence.
Asked about the lawyer, Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said, "We don't know who she is, and obviously we can't keep track of all the meetings of all Russia lawyers in Russia and abroad." The latest Russian saga managed to momentarily knock the White House off message, following a G20 that saw the president deliver a powerful speech in Poland, but steer clear of sanctions talk. "Sanctions were not discussed in my meeting with President Putin," the president tweeted. "Nothing will be done until Ukrainian and Syrian problems are solved." That appeared to contradict Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who said the president did tell Putin that Congress was pushing for more sanctions. The president also lashed out at critics of his daughter Ivanka, who momentarily filled his seat while he conducted a meeting on the sidelines of the summit. "If Chelsea Clinton were asked to hold a seat for her mother," he tweeted, "as her mother gave our country away, the fake news would say Chelsea for Prez." That drew this response: "Good morning, Mr. President. It would never have occurred to my mother or my father to ask me, were you giving our country away? Hoping not." Speaking of Twitter, late this afternoon, Brett, Donald Trump Jr. said that he would be happy to pass along what he knows. He said that in a tweet talking about possibly speaking to the Senate Intelligence Committee. It's also important to note that the outside counsel team for the Trumps has said this about this lawyer that we talked about in the piece. She may have been connected to Fusion GPS. That's actually an opposition research team that has been backed by the Democrats. Brett?
Kevin Cork, live on the North Lawn. Kevin, thank you.
All right. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Now, you listen to that. You heard what they say. They try to make it sound like Donald Trump Jr. made something wrong. But the idea is, did you recollect who he met with? He met with an agent of a superstar, a Russian superstar that was a part of the team that they have when they had the Miss Beauty pageant in Russia. Now think about it. When a young man called another man and say, "Listen, I got from the beauty pageant, I got a woman that I want you to meet about the Russian blah blah blah." You know, I know men don't think about, okay, let's see what that woman has. It's like, who is she? Well, let's talk. Now, the moment they saw her, they understood that this is heavy duty. They wrap it up. The first one left after 7 minutes. It means like he had no interest whatsoever because he understood that it's a heavy duty, whatever. He didn't like it. Kushner did not like it, and he left. Donald Trump Jr. was polite. He had to sit down with his connection, his friends, and he wanted to listen. And sure enough, he understood that she's an activist. Now, she is an activist. It's a fact. She's activist on Capitol Hill. She was there for the hearing about adoption of children from Russia. And it seems like she'd been working all along with that. To think that she is on the wrong side of the American specter, they couldn't tell. But however, taking the meeting, they say that it was wrong. But I know that when you get information, you need to listen to it to understand. After he understood, he didn't give it the time of the day, 20 minutes, and he left. Now, after all the accumulation of hoo-ha that the media hype was trying to make and made, he decided to release everything. He said, look, everything is clear. This is kosher. I didn't know who this woman was. She's an activist. She wanted to pitch to him because he was prospective son of a president. And sure enough, she got her minute in the sun, but then they left. What's the big deal? Where did he, made wrong a mistake? People are not allowed to speak to anybody. If she's in America, she must be okay. If she's calling him in the midst of an election and has the right contact, it's an agent, but it's all in entertainment business. This was a part of his history as a friendship in the entertainment business. Now, you have to understand that when you have entertainment business, they work on a different level. And it's true enough. It's, they consider friends to be friends and they meet with them. So he brought a friend that talked about, how many stories that we get, oh, it's so high, important, mighty, and in the end, it's nothing. And sure enough, it was nothing, okay? So we don't know anything about that lady. And if anybody sent her, it's not definitely Donald Jr. Fought. He did not have to do anything. He just was there and he left. So get over it, okay? Now, we're trying to understand what's going on. And any time that there is hoo-ha on the part of the media, I am considering a masking of something. Because, let's face it, right now we have a very important hearing in the Judiciary Committee on the Hill to choose a new FBI director. He looks great, he sounds great, and sure enough, he has the heart to fight a good fight. So we are blessing him, and I hope that it will be marvelous. Now, once you know that the former FBI left from problem with the president, you must understand what's going on. We have on the table, classified email of Hillary Clinton that been circulating without authorization to so many form, that nobody decided to investigate farther. Or if there is an investigation, it must come to a conclusion that it was a wrongdoing and it has a consequence. The FBI director passed along information to the media, which was published, and it was not clear if it was classified since it was a conversation with the president. That's assuming that it will be classified. But let's assume that he did that because he got fired. However, it wasn't right. So we have wrongdoing from the part of Democrats and the FBI director that he seems to be a very nice guy, but it was wrongdoing. And, you have to also ask yourself who leaked the information about the name of the bombers in the London attack, in the England attack. Because remember, in the same time, there was a leak from the agencies. And people have to consider that it was close enough, and it was the same venue of the newspaper. So once you get that close of the time and the venue, you must suspect that there is a foul play there too. So we are playing all in the media, trying to attack the president that is working hard, trying to work to change Obamacare that really cannot sustain itself. It's the insurance company cannot hold on anymore. And the people are throwing sands and stones, to everywhere. It seems to me like there is a crisis that we need to control. Now, the question is, what do you want to do about it? If you want to let it be, you're sacrificing America in the process. And I'll tell you a conversation that I had with an undisclosed source, and it's not, I'm not going to reveal it. But before the election was made, I got a call from America, and they were talking to me and said, I ask, what they're going to do about the investigation of Hillary Clinton? So the answer I got is, well, we don't want to risk jeopardizing the only chance a woman has for president. And my answer was, by all means, if she is good, let her be. But if not, you have to show them the good. You cannot let anything go by, pretending like everything is good just because she's a woman. And I'm a woman. I would love that. But sure enough, Director Comey says after, and he released the information, and he said that there was information that classified information, but it's not something that supposed to be investigated. Okay, so we had that, and that's his conclusion. However, I'm not sure that the FBI director is allowed to determine if once you found obstruction of justice, not adhering to the rules of law and engagement, if you are the director, are authorized to decide if it's a criminal or if there is justice has to be done, because that's what they have to ask this director that is going to be elected, God willing, soon. Let's see what's going to happen. Now, going back to the discussion of Donald Trump Jr., we need to consider the fact that he was meeting with one of his friends from the entertaining business, from the beauty pageant, and he was bringing a friend of his, like as so much in connection sensitive. Between men, sensitive can be many things. So let's not go always in one direction. Maybe it can be. And of course, he was out of town. He just wrote something. I'm not saying whatever he did is right or wrong. I'm saying that these things happen. But his conclusion, his walking out fast, was determining the character he has, showing you that he's a really good guy. And the fact that he disclosed everything show you that he is a clear and good guy, an honest to God guy. Now, I'll give you the what's the reason also all this is going to happen. Because there is always a hint, right? Now, he met with the agent of a musician, a man named Emin, that sings. Let's listen to the music of this Russian thing and let's see if it's worth all this, publicity. We'll be right back.
empty sky to the dark unknown. 'Cause you're all alone with me. You can keep the lights on, we can keep tonight going, but we'll still be falling.
That was Donald Trump Senior actually finishing that video. So if you think that there was something that was going on, maybe there was like music that somebody wants to promote. There is something going on always with the industry, and they love to make a movie, and the Democrats sure gave them the movies. Anyway, let's keep on going. UNESCO resolution. Anybody heard about the UNESCO resolution lately? Well, this time they made it to Hebron. You know, they went to the Bible, they're going by through the Bible page by page and try to cancel it and change the history or whatever, because it's incredible. They went to, through Jerusalem resolution once, and they decided that Jerusalem is a place that Israel occupied. Forget the connection of the Jewish people to the Bible, 2,000 years of history. No, nothing. It's not important. UNESCO decided it's Palestinian. Palestine never existed. It doesn't matter. They decided. Now they decided it's something else. We have the Patriarch tomb, you know, in the Hebron. It's written in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. You know, the patriarch of the Jewish people, nobody else, just the Jewish people. Then we have the mother, the matriarchs. We have Rachel is in another place that they already took. It's like ridiculous. We have Leah, we have Sarah, and we have Rebecca, the matriarchs. The whole, you know, the Bible is all based of those stories, the Old Testament. And Hebron is where Abram bought, and it's written in the Bible, that he bought that section to bury his wife, Sarah. And sure enough, they bury all of them. And what UNESCO decided? No. There is a little mosque there. It's in a Palestinian authority. Now, you guys have to understand that we need to have patience with everybody. We have to have tolerance, and we have to understand when they want, you know, something. But come on, trying to eradicate Judaism will not do the trick. It's like the Palestinian Authority, they decided, you know, they want to have a country. Why? Because they're people of the land. But you have already Jordan, 90% or 85% of the Jordanian are Palestinian descent. The queen is Palestinian. No, we want another one. So we gave you Gaza. No, it's not good enough. We want more. Now, did you create anything? Did you build anything? Any assembly? By the way, do you have any kind of election going on since 2005 where you chose Hamas, that is a terrorist organization? And I'm telling you, I want to work with them. I want them to have a beautiful resorts, you know, on the beach where they can, you know, Gaza can be incredible. They can have an international section there where tax-free and sell to the whole Middle East if they want. But no, they don't know to organize themselves. So maybe we should try to help them come to conclusion that maybe Jewish people can actually help them. And we want to help them. But they do need to tell us, you know. You know, and give us also some space, because we do need to pray sometimes. So let's listen to the latest, the UNESCO resolution.
Israel's poor relations with UNESCO just hit a new low. The UN's cultural body has voted to adopt a resolution that demands Israel stop all excavations and other projects in and around occupied East Jerusalem. The area contains historical sites sacred to Jews, Christians, and Muslims.
We so much thank the countries that voted in favor of this draft resolution. And we think that by pursuing, tabling this resolution, we will exert diplomatic pressure on Israel as an occupying power to allow for the reactive monitoring mission to go to the old city of Jerusalem and also implement what we have adopted.
Who controls Jerusalem has been one of the toughest issues to settle in peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians, which last broke down in 2014. Palestinians claim the old city of Jerusalem as the capital of any future state. And for Muslims, the area, which has two mosques, is their third holiest site, after Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia. For the Israeli government, the entire city is seen as the nation's capital and is home to the Temple Mount, Judaism's holiest site. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hit back at UNESCO, calling the vote absurd.
UNESCO said a year ago that we have no connection to the Temple Mount. This year, they didn't say that. That's an improvement in the march of absurdity. They also said that Judaism, too, has some connection to Jerusalem. Well, we're making progress. But there's still a way to go. And the way we have to go is, in fact, to cut out this nonsense.
For years, Israel has complained about bias at the UN, where it and its allies are often outnumbered by Arab nations and others who support the Palestinians. Last year, UNESCO caused an uproar when member states approved a resolution that diminished Jewish ties to holy sites in Jerusalem. In response, Israel suspended cooperation with the agency. Christine Pirovolakis, TRT World.
All right, and this time when UNESCO resolution was on Hebron, the Prime Minister of Israel decided to cut $1 million from the funding and give it to, create some center to educate people about the history, because it seems like people don't remember the history, and maybe Israel did not do a good of a job to teach the people that, you know, after 2,000 years, the Jewish people returned to their land, not for nothing. They returned for the land because the roots are incredible. They revived the Hebrew language, something that never happened before. But you cannot go back to your homeland, to ancestor land, where the patriarchs and the matriarchs are buried. The mother Rachel is there, and there the people say you don't belong there. Or they are trying to be funny, or they are really not going to get it, because the truth is what it is. You can't change it. So if they want to go forward, they must, you know, start with the truth, and then we can go on. And by the way, we all admit in together in this. And we had one of the member of Knesset, Mickey Zohar, which said that he's willing to take responsibility all over those people and give them good salary, good work, and let them start working with, you know, our organization, our state, and then if they want to stay and live here like citizen good, we might consider it, and they're gonna be, you know, in a route to have independence, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you live free, if you have what you need to have a good life, education for the children, a future for your children, you might consider that borders, as they think, they say, it's not, there is no border in the world, so it doesn't really matter. It's only a functional society that works. That's why people stay in a marriage. That's why people stay in friendship. That's why people have relationship, because it's functional. Once it stops, that's where it breaks. And that's what happened now with the rest of the Middle East. It broke down because it didn't work for them, because democracy got to everywhere. You know, the news about democracy, the internet broke all barrier between countries and taught them that there is a different future. And what we did is we talked about it so much that the Arab Spring came about. And sure enough, we need just to let them have more education, but somebody has to take responsibility. And taking responsibility meaning, you know, doing the right thing, like they're going to do in Syria, where they're taking responsibility and they are stopping the fighting there. Jordan is going to police the idea. I don't know how Jordan becomes such a great player, it's not going to work really well with the Shiite on the ground. I'm sure that they calculate the risk, but it's really incredible. But meanwhile, you know, between the Shiite, the Sunni, you know, the Saudis and the Iranian regime, there is also the problem that they have with Qatar. Qatar is a country that is mostly Sunni, and it's supposed to go around with the Saudis. But sure enough, she has the immense source of gas that's been sold to the Iranian. So I guess that the Saudis are not happy. Let's listen to Secretary of State, where he went around and tried to mediate some kind of understanding.
Standing beside his Qatari counterpart, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson announced Tuesday a memorandum of understanding between the United States and Qatar to take steps to curb terrorism financing.
I am here in Qatar today carrying with me the same spirit which President Trump traveled in Riyadh with in May. The United States has one goal: drive terrorism off of the face of the earth.
On June 5th, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Egypt, and others severed diplomatic ties and instituted a land, air, and sea blockade of Qatar. The Saudi-led group accused Qatar of supporting terrorism and gave Doha a list of 13 demands. President Donald Trump has appeared to come down on the side of Saudi Arabia, singling out Qatar for funding terrorism. Most analysts say Tillerson has remained neutral in the crisis. Success in helping to resolve the regional crisis could unite Tillerson and Trump, the Wilson Center's Aaron David Miller tells VOA.
If Tillerson can deliver something that allows the Saudis and the Qataris to back away from this without either being humiliated, then I think the president would welcome and support it.
Miller said he believes Tillerson, as the former CEO of Exxon, has the skills to negotiate a deal.
Tillerson is very familiar with this part of the world, particularly the Gulf. So no, I think people respect him. He you know, he's straight out of central casting with respect to looking like a Secretary of State.
Tillerson plans to hear the other side of the dispute in the Saudi city of Jeddah Wednesday. Cindy Sain, VOA News, the State Department.
All right, so you understand that there was a really big dispute when they cut the ties and they wanted to order them what to do. And one of the things they wanted to do is for the Qatari to close Al Jazeera. Now, Al Jazeera, it started a long time ago as a TV that it's like pro-Islam, very, very extreme. But soon enough, it becomes a very, very important news from the Arab world. And that news actually helped people understand what they mean and what the problem is everywhere. And Al Jazeera been talking and advertising these days that they want to preserve the station and they don't want to have anybody closing it. And they talk about freedom of speech, freedom of journalism, and journalists all around the globe are chipping in and talking and asking to stay open. And there is this revival of the news media right now. We have we're seeing a shift. We're seeing a change. The change in tone is the understanding that the news media is the watchdog of democracy, obviously, and elsewhere is the watchdog of anything, of freedom, of liberty, human rights, etc. But they become, not long ago, they thought that they are so high and mighty that they can decide what selection going to look like, what their polls are saying, and they change so many perspective on people life, on people, on the policymaker, that actually they alienate themselves. That's why when Donald J. Trump, the president, say that there is a fake news, he's right sometimes. He's right all the time, but I'm saying sometimes it's fake news. They are using the media as a tool to change the reality they live in, like the polls that they were pulling in Israel on the Prime Minister Netanyahu. They actually try to make people think that the Labour is going to take it. And sure enough, they got defeated because the polls were not right. Because when you are trying to manipulate by your smartness, of course they're smart, you manipulate the truth and you're trying to shift even one angle. You know, the pitch is very important in any flight. And any teacher of flying will tell you, or any pilot will tell you, that when you pitch the direction of the plane a little in one angle different, you might arrive to a different destination. And they were using it. And that's something to blame the media. It's something that we have to communicate truthful information, and we have to stop having an opinion. Now, of course, let's say it, you know, I'm having here an opinion. I'm not the reporter, you know, official reporter in any TV station or any radio. I wish soon to be, I hope. But the idea is you cannot try to manipulate people's mind. Actually, in the Jewish tradition, you are not supposed to, because you are violating their rights to think. Because if there is one thing that God gave us, is the liberty to choose. When you want to respect your fellow citizen, you let them choose how to think. When you want to, fulfill a duty, you have to do it right. When you talk about God, for example, God gave us the right to think and consider what is right. That's why he's so incredible, because he gives you the freedom. It's up to you to decide if you want to choose to worship or not. You go to church, you go to synagogue, you go to mosque, whatever you want. You want to live in peace or you want a war. It's up to you. He gives you all the instruction in the Bible. Every Bible has it. I know that the Old Testament is different from, it's not different, it's old and everybody knows about it, and some people are following the New Testament. But the Old Testament, the Jewish way, give you the opportunity to choose, because God wants you to respect him. Now, when you give the people the right to choose, they love you even more, because you respected their integrity. And when the media try to manipulate what you think constantly from the morning or day, in the morning and to the night, and I'm telling you, I live here in Israel right now, and in Israel I'm avoiding listening to the news. And why is that? Because they choose the yellow, the cheap, the criminal aspect of the news. They don't teach me about, they don't tell me about the incredible revelation that they found. They don't tell me about the excavation that they found. You know, sometimes maybe if they find a coin, you know, screaming from 2,000 years, they'll tell you in the first thing in the morning, then they'll forget about it. They will not remind you about the history of the land here. And they want, and they always, always running after the politician and they hunt them. They are like hunting dogs. They are not watchdog. They are hunting dog. And it's a different kind of journalism. I don't respect that. I actually have a very, very strong feeling about it. Because I feel that they are ruining the fabric of society. And if you read sometimes the declaration, you know, the work that many scholars do, you know that the fabric of society is made from what you give them. You need to make them flourish. like in Italy. In Italy, they are really nice. They are really nice, and they try really hard. Of course, they have the corrupted system that works against them, and they fall again, and they fold again and again. It's something that it's inside the system that needs to be clean. And now we have a problem with the journalist. The journalist, why CNN is become the enemy? Why all of a sudden CNN, that we were watching it like crazy in the late 80s, 90s, CNN was the station of all thing. Then she started to be against Israel, that when we had the Intifada, we had to scream to them to say, guys, we're gonna do something to stop it, because it cannot be. And sure enough, you know, we had the head of the CNN then, it was Walter Isaacson, came to AIPAC to speak, because the Jewish people were so out of themselves from the news. You cannot tell the people of the world that Israel is wrong when she gets attacked constantly. You see, you have to understand your position against people that already the World Organization, the United Nations, all the rest of the world decided it has to be a nation, because they deserve it. It's their land. They came back about. Now you want to change it. That's what the news try to do. They change it. They have the Palestinian. They call it occupied. And it's so bad that even the Israeli news are using it. When you occupy the land that was given to you, I don't get it. I really don't get it. Every time that they say occupied, I'm going out of myself. You cannot be occupied in your homeland, okay? Now, you have the book of the old book, the Bible, to show for. Now, it's not the title on the land? Well, I think so. It's that's why they gave it back to us. They didn't give it to us because somebody was pretty or they got paid for. Actually, most of the land got paid and bought by the Jewish agency to Israel, and the lands were bought fair and square. Now let's start talking about it. There was like many lands that were disputed. We bought them again. We got them, and the idea is how much longer you trying to go with this charade. We don't know, but we must remember that there is a God, and it's not us. So let's listen to some music, and we'll be back after that.
Take me past the outer court into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I long to see your face.
Wow, that was today that I found this song. It's incredible. Take me back to the Holy of Holy, Temple of Jerusalem, deserved to be rebuilt. It was destroyed twice, and anybody who wants to declare that, you know, it's something else, Jerusalem is another place and it's not important to the Jewish, you better go to Italy and see the Ark there, where they found, you know, there is an inscription on the walls and with the pictures how the Roman Empire brought the goods of the temple from Jerusalem to Rome. You see, when UNESCO is trying to change the history, they better go to other nations and also correct the description on the wall, also because the walls have a testimony, and this testimony is forever there, so they cannot change it. And when we talk about the temple, it's supposed to be a temple for everybody. It's not only for the Jewish people. What's the purpose of all this? Let's really come to an understanding. Everywhere and around, there are Arabs. Now, God decided that we are here. Now, this place is supposed to be incredible, and it is. The people of Israel need to enlighten the other people of the world to help them, sustain them with information, with medication, whatever they need. That's their purpose, to serve, to be the custodian of the holy places in order for the other people of the world to come around and pray to God together. Now, the Jewish people actually practicing it by giving it incredible innovation, finding a new deals of a way to find and help. And it's incredible. You can find the Israeli innovation everywhere. And this is good. But on the other side, when they are trying to fight us, where they're fighting us, when they're calling on war against our religion, and remember, every time you're touching Jewish, you're touching also the Christian, because the Judeo-Christian come from one place. It never came from the other side. You know, Christianity never came from the Muslim. So we're not going to try to even, they do try to change that too. But it doesn't work, because the Bible is what it is. So if we create a place where we can build, you know, there are a lot of places to build here. And I'm thinking about education. I'm thinking about zone where we can cooperate on the international level to teach the world. There are centers of science that we can contribute to everywhere. And you know, all those people from the Arab Spring, they need to get education. And we're talking from basic. We need to teach them from basic. We need to free their mind from all the chain of the past. Sometimes the past gives you a lot of chains, and you need to liberate yourself from them. And we are here, and we are reaching out every day again and again for peace. And we don't want to send our children to the army. We don't want them to learn to fight. We want them to learn to study, to be smart, to be worthy, and to be an example that other generation can follow. So until we're going to have this important mission and task, complete, we'll still have to be on the lookout for the occasion, and maybe for some leaders that can join us and bring some understanding. And today in the hearing, they were mentioning in the Judiciary Committee, they were mentioning the Russian messing up with the election. And we need to remember that when we mess around with somebody else's election, we cannot blame them for doing the same. And with all the respect that I have, and I have a lot, to the American government that interfere in the Israeli election and actually pay a lot of money to the wrong organization because we found them immediately. And and actually, we, at the end of the day, the victory of the Likud party was worthy, because they are working hard. And of course, there are a lot of investigation here. There is corruption that is in the midst, because when you have tons of money traveling in the Department of Defense, you're sure enough that there are some greedy souls that feel that they can fix their life by ruining their own good name. Because you cannot serve a nation and be a public servant under God and do wrong. And right now, Israeli are witnessing a lot of investigation. I'm not going to talk about it, because until the Justice Department doesn't decide that it's just and do the right thing, we won't have a solution. It will be only the hunting dogs of the media that will follow up and will pick on some politician or so. we don't have much to show for in that regard. And because last week we had a very good hearing, one of the best that I had in this nation, I'm telling you. I was waiting for this day for a long time. We had the head of the justice, the Supreme Court, the head of the Supreme Court, the former head of the Supreme Court, justice from here to the whole committee there. We had the Minister of Justice sitting there and the past one, and they all discussed about the way they choose the justice to the president, to the Supreme Court. And what we found out that there is a law that say that the committee needs to choose the head of the Supreme Court. But they decided to overrule it and work with seniority. When you have the head of the Justice Department deciding to overlook the law, you can't expect anything else. That's why I say to them always, the justice in Israel is elastic. You never know which, you know, how they expand it. They give credit to other and they don't. That's why in America they have to pay attention that when somebody passed the law, when you pass information that is classified, you cannot decide that for that one matter, because it's a woman running for president, it's not against the law. When she obstruct justice, she did. It's against the law. Now, if you think that you're going soft, you're going to help America, you're wrong. You have a Mother Liberty there. And sure enough, Mother Justice also, she needs to be blind to ever there. So by all means, let me salute you here and tell you that I love you. I'm back and I'm happy that I finally start to think, you know, together. I miss you so much. It was a while since I came back and it was really hard coming back. But I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that you stay tuned. And whenever you need it, I'm here. God bless you all.